This is Higher Ed Heroes with Dr. Sebastian Kempf and Dr. Alistair Stark.
Welcome to a new episode of Higher Ed Heroes. My name is Seb.
And my name's Al. Our podcast is about transformative moments in the classroom. We believe that these moments, when we bring our classrooms to life, can often be achieved by making small changes that are easy to adopt.
And that's our focus. Small things communicated in simple ways by teachers who know that these practices make a difference to their students. And our hope is that you might be able to reflect and even feel inspired to think about whether these might work in your own classroom.
And because we know our listeners are busy and time poor, we always want to communicate these small lessons in a jargon-free way, which is why we have the Teaching Jargon Buzzer.
No!
Which we hit when we hear those buzzwords that might be more at home in a teaching committee or a faculty meeting. So, Seb, shall we introduce this week's guest?
Al, thank you, absolutely. Our guest today is Dr. Po Wa Hillock. Po is a senior lecturer in mathematics at the School of Mathematics and Physics here at UQ. And we invited Po to the podcast because she offers a specifically designed support tutorial for her first year maths students who are struggling and who are at risk of failing. Po, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm excited about this podcast, Seb, because I think this is going to be a great one for those people who teach first year students, of which I am one. I think you are one too.
Yeah.
So, Po, tell us about the problem, first of all. What led you towards this innovation in the first instance?
I'll have to take you back to 2012 when I first joined UQ. So in that semester, I interacted with many, many students who were at risk of failing first year maths. My course, which is Math 1051, Calculus and Linear Algebra 1, has a historically high failure rate of 30%. Don't know what it's like for your courses, but 30% of 1,000 students is 300 students a year who fail the course. So massive problem. And what I discovered was these students were very, very poorly prepared for first year maths. And more alarmingly, there was very limited support available for these students. So it was a no-brainer to put on a tutorial for these students targeting their special needs, which for maths is really high school background skills. Mm. That's the reason why we designed and implemented the support learning tutorial to provide the necessary targeted support for this special group of students.
And it's a generic problem, I think, for everyone. I teach social science students in a compulsory first year class, and many of them don't want to be there.
Nope.
They don't want to learn politics. And I'm assuming in your class of 1,000 students, many of them don't want to learn maths.
Absolutely. So this is a compulsory requirement for many courses. So our students do the subject because they have to, not because they love it. Problems on many levels. There's a level of engagement, poorly prepared for this course. So the tutorial was really designed to address these problems.
Mm. And so what kind of things do you do in the tutorial? Well, tell us a bit about it.
Okay, well, most of these students are repeating students. So they failed the course before, and they, for some reason, they fail and they keep failing. So they just don't get it. What we try to do is to get them in a short space of 13 weeks. It's the exams that we want to get them through. So the tutorial is actually very exam focused. It's very, very, you might think, narrow in its focus, but it's very targeted. These kids want to pass, and we try and get them there in a matter of 13 weeks with this very special tutorial. So we try and teach them maths, but we also try and get them through the exam at the end of 13 weeks.
Your course, any student would sit in a tutorial? The most number of tutorials would be taught normally, and then you have a yep. few handful that are specifically designed and more structured in yep. the way you just described. Is that the biggest difference between those two types of tutorials?
Yeah, so what we do in the support learning tutorial is quite different from what we do in the regular tutorial. In the regular tutorial, there are problem sheets to get through. We do collaborative exercises, whereas in this special tutorial, we do exam problems. And I make no apologies, really, for doing exam problems, because many of our exam problems are very well thought out. So they're perfect for discussion in this targeted tutorial.
And how is it decided which student is going to be in which kind of tutorial? You mentioned earlier that some of them are the ones who have failed the exam before, but there must therefore be others too. How do you decide, on what grounds?
Okay, so at the start of the semester, we identify these students, and they come from mainly two groups. Those who have done this course before and are repeating the course, that group is very much at risk of failing again from past statistics. And there is another group of students whom we've identified who come to us with weak background skills based on the high school maths results. So those are the two groups that we target for this tutorial.
And we know we shouldn't trust teaching evaluations too much, and we know we shouldn't always trust progression rates, although, you know, 30% has led you to act. But you also have quite substantial evidence of this tutorial working, haven't you?
Yes, we do. So when we implemented this for the first time in 2012, I was very keen. Obviously, the tutorial had a very clear goal to get these students through the course. So it was obvious that we would be interested to see how the students fared at the end of the semester. The results and the outcomes were very good. These supported students outperformed the general cohort, both in pass rates and quality of passes. And by quality of passes, I mean percentages who obtained credit and above. But significantly, the supported repeat students far outperformed the unsupported repeat students.
You must have been very relieved.
Absolutely. That was the statistics that I needed to say, look, come and engage. We've got very good outcomes for this program.
You told us also that it's obviously not just about getting the students through, but there's another dynamic that starts to happen when those students find themselves in this specifically structured and specialized tutorial, and that is comes in form of community building. And for you, this is also very crucial.
That is absolutely crucial, and I don't know which one is more important. I'd like to think that we're teaching them maths in this program, and I think we are. But the other thing that was happening is that it was the interactions within this group was amazing. It was powerful. We've got a group of like-minded students who all know they're weak, but they acknowledge they're weak. They acknowledge they need the help and they want the help, and they're prepared to put in the work to get the help. We've got an available and invested instructor who wants to help, and I don't know that you can get any better than that. And what was amazing was that during the semester, these students would interact with each other. It's very powerful because they're all in the same boat. They can relate to each other's negative experiences with maths. They support each other. They meet every week. More importantly, they're forming groups and meeting outside of class. So they're giving a lot of emotional support to each other.
This is why I really love this innovation. It leads to this solidarity and community building. And we can all point to students who we've seen in our class maybe drifting off, becoming an issue for retention, getting lost in the large first year mass of students. But here we see the opposite. We see students coming together, identifying with each other because they're struggling and pushing through. It's a really nice dynamic that was unintended.
Absolutely. And I would say that's half the reason for the success of the program. So we teach them the maths, but they're also teaching each other and supporting each other, and that is very powerful.
You know, when we think of taking on or offering an additional tutorial, specialized tutorial, the first question that any head of school would come back to you is like, well, how much does this cost us? So my question to you, Paul, is how do you manage to minimize the costs of running extra tutorials?
So I must say, in the initial semesters of offering this program, it was an hour on top of my regular workload. So it was extra time on my part. But I acknowledge that not everybody has that extra hour. So it got me thinking, everyone's got consultation times during the week. I don't know how many hours of consultation or office hours you've got. I've got two. And if I was busy and I was trying to do something like this, I'd be thinking, well, maybe I can use that 1 hour of consultation time and make it a little bit more formal and then put it out to students that they can come and see me during this time. I will book a room and let's all come together and learn some maths together. That would not be an additional burden to the academics workload if they did it that way?
Because sometimes we sit in our consultation hour and nobody arrives.
Exactly. And that's exactly my experience. It's a bit intimidating, I think, for students to sometimes come and see the lecture one-on-one, whereas there's something about meeting as a group. You can kind of hide behind other people. I've had more success running office hours that way.
This is the second reason I like this innovation, because we like the easy to implement. Clearly, there's a lot of effort to do the scaffolding and then to build it. But once you've built it, it kind of runs itself. It's low cost, low investment.
Absolutely. And that's our experience. So in some semesters, the lecturer hasn't been able to take the support learning tutorial. So we've asked our more experienced tutors to do it. The materials are all there. So basically, they just turn up, engage with the students. Materials are there. Minimal preparation on their part.
I would have been one of the students in your problem tutorial because I'm a social scientist and I live up to the stereotype. So I love that. And I would have wished that perhaps when I was forced to do maths in high school, I would have had that kind of extra support. If anyone is listening in and is not from maths and is not from that particular field that you are in, but likes what they're hearing, what's the kind of big takeaway message that you might have for them?
It is the being able to connect with students. When I first started at UQ, I learned about how my colleagues were doing things a little differently at another university. And one thing they did at that university was every lecturer had to take a tutorial. And why take a tutorial? When you're in a small group, you get to know your students so much better. You connect with them so much better. Apart from helping the students, it was also a way for me to connect with my class in a small class setting. And that's when I really got to know my students. And I'm still hearing from them 10 years later. I just got an email from a student from that inaugural group. It's connecting with students. And if you connect with them, not wait for them to come and connect with you, because very few of them do at university. But if you reach out to them and you're proactive, they respond, and they respond very well.
It's a great message, because in a first year course, you can be a distant stranger. And this year I haven't been doing tutorials, and I feel like that stranger at the front of the lectern. Yeah. And that connection is really crucial if you want to do these kind of innovations.
Yep.
Big takeaway message for me is, let's not always offer the same kind of structure or support structure to all students. We need to actually dedicate to those with different needs in different ways. Paul, this has been absolutely wonderful to have you here on the podcast. For you as listeners, if you've heard anything that you liked or that you would like to engage further, you can of course get in touch via our social media channels.
Thanks for joining us on Higher Ed Heroes, and we look forward to your company again.